if I can't finish it, he will.
It's an old song for some people, but some people probably haven't heard it.
Down through Bible days, there were those who followed Jesus. They told of all his miracles, so unbelievers could finally see. They stood boldly for his name, unafraid and unashamed, for the victory held in his nail-scarred hands, his disciples took their stand. Children, stand for the things that you believe in, like God's precious holy Bible and his great salvation plan. While we tarry and we linger, souls are slipping through our hands. Don't fail to tell the world of Jesus, it's time to take a stand. There are many times we put off telling others how the Savior died for all mankind on a tree for all to see. But soon the night is coming when we'll dawn eternity. The harvest now is white and ready. Workers in the field, let's be. Children, stand for the things that you believe in, like God's precious holy Bible and his great salvation plan. While we tarry and we linger, souls are slipping through our hands. Don't fail to tell the world of Jesus, it's time to take a stand. Children, stand for the things that you believe in, like God's precious holy Bible and his great salvation plan. While we tarry and we linger, souls are slipping through our hands. Don't fail to tell the world of Jesus, it's time to take a stand. It's time to take a stand.
Message, thank you. It's a very, very true message as well, guys. Those aren't just words that she was singing. It's the truth of the gospel. You know, anybody that dies without Jesus, their sins are going to have to be paid for by their own soul in hell forever. And I mean, that's just it's a terrible thought. And gospel means good news. So the gospel part of it, the good news part of it is that Jesus did die for their sins, but they can't accept the one whom they've never heard of. And so, you know, and we think, well, we live in America, everybody knows about Jesus. But I'm going to be honest with you folks, not everybody knows the truth about Jesus. Sometimes they know some, I don't know, fraction of the truth with a lot of distortion or some unclear understanding of it, but not the whole thing. And I'm telling you that there is an enemy who's blinding people so that they can't see it. And that's where the prayer and the commitment to take a stand, and the way we take that stand first is through prayer, guys, together. We just pray. We pray for the salvation of our family and our neighbors and those around us. And then by actually being a witness as well. And the only way we can be a witness is if we're somewhat prepared. It's got to be the Word of God in our hearts, amen? And that's just so important. And so let's be committed to that, you know? And here's the deal. This is the best part of it. We don't stand alone, okay? Not only do we have each other, which that's cool, and I love all you guys, and I'm thankful when we stand together, but even if I am over here and it's just me, I'm still not alone because Jesus is with me. You see, he said in Matthew 28, the Great Commission, you know, he said, go therefore make disciples of all nations, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, right? So we teach all the things he's commanded us. And here's the best part. And lo, I am with you, even to the end of the age. So Jesus is with us, and He promised us in other places He will never leave us or forsake us. And so let's stay as close to Him as we can. Let's go with Him. Let's think about Him this morning, in fact, as we think about, you know, the fact that He went to the cross for us. You know, that necklace couldn't have been any more perfect, because we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about that road to the cross. You know, whenever Jesus was born on this earth, He came and experienced being, you know, fully man. He came in such a miraculous way. But I can tell you, all along, His purpose was to go to that cross. All along, His purpose was to go to that cross. In fact, I've got this picture. I should have brought it today. Up on our wall, and it's a picture of a little blonde, well, he may not have been blonde, but this little cute little blonde-headed boy, you know, who's playing on the floor, and his daddy, this carpenter, is standing over him, and there's these big spike nails on the floor, and while he's playing with those big spike nails, there's this shadow coming through the window in light, a beam of light through these shadows, and it's in the cross, shape of a cross, this beam of light that's in the shape of a cross over him. And I think it just examples that thought that from the very first, from day one, in fact, if you go even beyond that, this was God's plan all along. You go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, whenever sin entered the world, this was God's plan. He had this plan. And so He carried it out in Jesus' life, and we know that He lived a period of time on this earth. He died at around 33, so during that entire period of time, it was all this road to the cross. He knew where He was going. He knew He had a plan to fulfill, and he never diverted from that, and that's why they could say of Jesus that He never sinned, because He always did the Father's will. He always desired to do the Father's will. He didn't get sidetracked by all things in life, and He kept His eyes on that, and what I want us to think about is during that time, there were a lot of things that could have distracted Him and diverted Him. Y'all have distractions and diversions in your lives? Absolutely. Our life could be a series of them. We can be so focused and so on fire for God, and then something happened over here, and we're like, oh no, maybe that wasn't God that spoke to me, or whatever, you know, we can go this way and go that way. I don't know, maybe you guys don't get like that, but sometimes I get like that. And I can get distracted, and I can start questioning things that I knew God told me clearly. Do you ever have that? God told you something clearly, and then things go south, and it don't happen like we thought it was going to, and the next thing you know, we're questioning. Boy, I want to talk about that a little bit with Jesus, because he went through a time when, man, He was majorly popular among the people. Jesus was amazingly popular, you know? And they talk about, like, people who are stars today. Jesus was beyond any of this. He was so popular among the people, at times He had to, like, sneak away just to get away from them, so He could have some quiet time with the Lord. We're gonna look at that, but before we do, I want you to understand something. We are called to walk as Jesus walked, okay? We are called to walk as our Savior walked. And so I want you to keep that in mind as we think about Jesus having His days of popularity. Guess what? Even as Christians living for Christ, we're going to have days whenever we're pretty popular in that. But just like with Jesus, that popularity ran out, there's going to be some days that we're pretty unpopular with that. Amen? When you speak the truth, not everybody wants to hear it all the time, but it doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. We need to just walk as Jesus walked. He walked in the truth. He walked committed to Christ, to His Father. He knew that he came to pay for the sins of everybody, and He kept His eyes on that the entire time. Okay, so now, what's our purpose in God? He's already paid for our sins. It ain't to pay for other people's sins. Amen? Praise God for that, because I can't even pay for my own. But it's for me to live faithfully as God's hands and feet to take that message to everybody else. Amen? We are called to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves, right? So let's look at Matthew chapter 10, verses 38 through 39. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses life for my sake will find it. Do you want true life, full life? Then we do that by giving it to Jesus, picking up our cross with Him, and going with Him. Okay? What does that mean to pick up your cross? I hear this discussed a lot. It's giving up your life, guys. That cross was a place of death. It's dying to our old life. It's dying to living for me. and start living for Jesus. And that's where we find real life. So let's look at how this worked out for Jesus. You can turn in your Bibles to John chapter 6. Jesus was the most awesome teacher of all. Do I get an amen to that? And he taught through object lessons. He set up particular situations. And I mean, none of this was like just a happening for him. Like he was purposefully doing this all the time, whatever he was doing. And so he takes everybody out into this place, which is the by the Sea of Galilee. So we're in John chapter 6. We're just going to start in verse 1. We're going to kind of work through this thing. And so you can kind of follow along. We'll have certain scriptures up on the board as we go. But I want you to think about this just a little bit and kind of picture this scene. Okay? So we've got Jesus is teaching all the time, and he is amazing people with all these different miracles that he's doing. And then we got chapter 6, verse 1, and after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. So this means there would have been a great crowd going toward Jerusalem. It was near, and so they had these huge crowds of people. And Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. So he turned and he faced his disciples and he gave them an impossible situation. He asked them to provide something that would be absolutely impossible for a group this big, and he did it on purpose. Do you know some of the things that are happening in our lives that seem impossible? It's actually on purpose. Did you all know that? Like it's not just an accident. It isn't just the devil doing this to us, everything that seems impossible. God will allow impossible things in our lives so that he can teach us lessons. And so he allows this impossible thing in their life. He didn't always feed every crowd. He didn't always worry about the people who came to follow him getting something physical to eat. We see lots of times he taught people and food was never discussed. But in this one particular time, they're out in the middle of nowhere, he turns around and he says to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" He was going to show him something. He was going to teach him something. And so when we have an impossible time in our life, let's look for what God's trying to teach us. Amen? So let's read on just a little bit more. So Philip, he gives the answer from the flesh. 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may even have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost." Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments of the barley, the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who has come into the world." Jesus took an impossible situation, and he already had a plan. If you're in an impossible situation right now, Jesus already has a plan. We need to trust Jesus to navigate us through that, to provide when it is absolutely the right time, when the fullness of time comes, that's when God does things. I don't know about the rest of you guys, but I want it done like yesterday, right? So I don't have to worry about it no more. Guys, worry is the opposite of faith. I hate to break that to all of us, but worry is the opposite of faith. I know we try to sanctify worry, but we can't, okay? It just is the opposite of faith. And so we got to give our worries to God. Now, if the worries keep coming upon you, understand we're human. What do you do with them? Take them to God, because He's got the answer. He had the answer of how He was going to feed these guys. And you know something that we need to note out of that? He took what was offered and used it. You notice? He didn't just bring bread out of heaven. He didn't just bring fish and create them there on the spot. He multiplied what was given. This little boy, you know, we've heard this story before, and we think about this. That little boy had no idea what a great thing God was going to do with that little offering. But he gave it anyways. He was the one who had faith in that situation. He said, "Here, Master, I don't know. It ain't much, but I'll give it to you." Amen. And I'm just going to tell you, these weren't loaves. These were loaves, okay? Probably little round flatbread loaves, okay? Maybe that big, but I'm talking, they ain't enough for 5,000 plus people, okay? So God did a miracle here. God had a plan. So verse 15, "Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone." Guys, I'm just going to tell you, we're going to be loved when we give the world what they want. Just as well as Nathan. Whenever we provide, or I'm sorry, just as well as what we see Jesus happening here. He was giving to them what they needed and what they wanted, and they were loving him, and then they're going to try to force him into their mold. Okay? And what's important about that is Jesus never lost sight of where he was going. He never lost sight of why he was there. Okay? Jesus gained great popularity along the way and the cross as he provided for their immediate needs, but he never forgot that he was going to the cross, you see. And so he perceived that they saw his popularity, and who wouldn't want to make him their king, right? That would be a great deal. I mean, this guy's got all power. He can heal people. He can provide food miraculously. He can for sure probably get rid of these Romans that have been taking over us. So wow, this is going to be our king. Jesus, in his infinite wisdom, said, uh-uh. And he started to move away. Okay? And he drew away, not because he disliked them or hated them or didn't want them, but because he loved them and he wanted to give them the most important thing. If they forced him to be king, then he couldn't be the Savior on the cross. And so he knew what he came to do. He knows what he wants to do with us as well. And so we just got to understand, guys, same thing's going to happen to us to some degree. When we provide for other people's needs, they're going to try to force us into their mold, but we got to keep the main goal in focus all the time. What's the main goal? Is to see souls saved. Amen? So we jump on down there. I'm just going to kind of jump forward some more scriptures for time's sake, but we look at John chapter 6, verses 26 through 27. Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs." Okay, guys, here's the deal. He even got in a boat, went all the way over to the other side, and they still followed him around there. And because he had fed them. It wasn't because they wanted to follow him. It was because he had fed them and he'd given them physical food. He said, but because you ate of the loaves and are filled. Verse 27, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Guys, here's the deal. You know why God cares for physical needs? Because he's got a bigger plan to care for spiritual needs. Do you know why God has provided for yours and my needs? Because he's teaching us to trust him so that we'll go to him for the deeper spiritual needs. He wants us to be not just rich and famous, guys. That ain't what he's looking for. He wants us to be faithful. Okay? He wants us to be faithful to the Father. He wants us to be faithful to him as our Lord and Savior. What does that word Lord mean? It means boss. You see, the most important thing is a person's eternal soul. You see, all that other stuff and all those other needs he puts in our life, all those impossible situations that he gets us through, is he's leading us so that our eternal souls are resting firmly in him. He wants to show us that He's got the big picture. He's got the whole big picture. So He started kind of cutting things off at this point. He said, look, you guys are only following Me because of the food. There's a bigger thing that's happening here. And so I want you to look at the bigger picture. You know, I'm just going to ask you guys something. This is a question for all of us. It's kind of a little, we'll just take a little time out. Would we still follow Him if He cut off all the earthly blessings? Man, isn't that a convicting question? You know, I just put read Job sometime. Because that was the whole purpose of what Job went through. It really was to prove that a man of God is still faithful even when he doesn't have the blessings. You see, and God strengthened Job, but I'll tell you, Job was tested through all that. Man, was he tested. Are we being tested? I'll guarantee you I'm being tested right now. I am. I'm going through a test right now. And you know, although it may be like forefront on my mind sometimes, I got to look through that test to God because He's the aim and the goal. He's the desire, right? And so that's what Jesus was doing. He was looking through this time, and I can tell you, He wasn't just out there trying to get fans. He wasn't just a rock star wanting fans, right? I've heard people talk about Him, and I think in that way, and that's so tasteless. Jesus knew what they needed, and He was wanting to give them what they needed, not just what they wanted. Okay, so that's where they were. So in John chapter 6, verses 34 through 35, then, let's continue to follow along here. Jesus gave them bread to show them something. It was a bigger spiritual reality, that He is the bread of life. And as we look at these two verses, then He said to them, Lord, give us, or they said to Him, Lord, give us this bread always. They're like begging Him, give us more of the food. That was great. I mean, because we're hungry, and it's a lot of hard work out here trying to feed ourselves, right? We can all relate to that. Just give it to us, because you can. We saw that. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Amen. He who comes to Me shall never hunger, and he who believes in Me shall never thirst. Do we experience that? I pray that we do. That, you know, the bread tastes good that's supplied to us, but He tastes better. Amen? Why do we go to Him and give thanks before we eat? And I pray y'all do that, because it's a great thing to do, because it reminds us that He's greater than the blessing. And if we can stay there, guys, I can tell you we can begin to experience this in our lives as well. In fact, what's really cool to know is even in the tabernacle, they had a place for there to be like fresh bread there every day. I want you to think about that. There was like fresh bread there every day. Whenever you walked in, you ever smell fresh bread before? Draws you, right? Yeah, there's a freshness to it. There's an invitation by it. Guess what? Jesus is showing us what He's like. He's saying, I'm the bread of life. Come to Me. I am the invitation. I let you taste this wonderful bread to show you a spiritual reality about Myself. And so what did they all say? Oh, yeah, okay, we'll do that. No, we need to read the rest of the story, don't we? We'll just jump down to verse 66. I want you to read the rest of it today, because you need to see the whole picture. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more. Guys, He actually brought it down to the actual point that unless we drink His or eat His flesh and drink His blood, we can have no part with Him. And that freaked everybody out because it sounds terrible. Guys, He needs to be our daily sustenance is what He's saying. He needs to be the one that if we don't get Him, we can't go any further. Not our Cheerios. You see, we can live without Cheerios for a day, but we can't live without Jesus for a day. That's what He's saying, and if we get that, then we can go on with Him. But I'm going to tell you, He's not going to share His glory with anything else in our lives. If there's any other idols in our lives that we say, if I don't have that one thing, I just can't make it. And Jesus says, no, that cannot compete for My place in your life. And that's what He was saying to these folks. It wasn't that He didn't want them to eat. He just wanted them to get the better thing first. And He said, I'm the one that you should desire. I'm the one. I'm the food. And from that time on, guys, a lot of them turned away. In fact, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Sounds sad, doesn't it? He went from popularity, from giving them what they wanted and everybody cheering for him, to many of them just walking away. And we don't see Jesus chasing them down and trying to tackle them and say, oh, come on, guys, here, I'll talk to you about this. Well, you know, I'll bend a little. I'll be a little more what you want me to be. He ain't going to do it with us either, guys. You see, he just turned to the other ones that were still left. And look at the words he said. Do you also want to go away? Man, that's sobering. He didn't apologize for the truth he put out there. And I'll be honest with you, as long as we're doing it out of love and out of the guidance of the Holy Spirit, neither should we. Truth is what it needs to be in everybody's lives. It needs to be out of love. So when we take our stand, let us take it in love. But let us take our cue from Jesus here. And he just asked them point blank. No apology. The message don't change. Do you also want to go away? In other words, I am the only way. Do you want to leave me too? And we look. He went from being adored to total rejection in one day. How would that feel? Man, maybe I'm not doing the right thing here. But you see, Jesus had perfect insight, so let's just look at him and keep our course. Because he's got perfect insight for us too. Okay? So let's look at what Peter has to say. I love Peter. Don't you guys love Peter? We call him Impetuous Peter. He was always the one who came up with an answer right away. Sometimes he got in trouble for him, but sometimes, man, he got it right. He got it right this time, guys. But Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. He said also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he's saying, I don't understand what you're saying, and I ain't sure how to do it, but there's nowhere else to go. Can I get an amen from our brothers and sisters today? Because that's where we are, guys. I don't understand what God's doing. I do not understand what God's doing. But I can tell you, I know God's good. Amen. And he's got a good plan. Amen. I got to share something with you before I go on. We're going to give an invitation here in a minute, but I got to be truthful with you. I love you guys. I really do. I'm going to tell you, that love for God and love for you is the only thing that keeps me standing sometimes and keeps me going. To remember, God hasn't finished his plan here in this church. It is very uncertain from day to day how things are going to go. And you heard me, I actually misspoke early in the sermon, so I got to be honest with you. I said Nathan, and I'm going to tell you why that slipped out. Y'all notice my son Nathan's not here with us. And I'm going to be honest with you. In all of me and that boy's life, we have been separated almost zero. Whenever I raised that boy in the summertime, we went to work together, and he spent almost the entire summer with me. During school, I was very involved. Coached his baseball team. Wasn't a perfect dad, but I'm going to tell you, we have spent a lot of time together. Whenever he went through his college time, he worked with me. He got out of college, we worked together. He was part of the business until just a couple of years ago. And now I left the business, you know, 8 years ago or so to come here full time. And yet, after that, he came and joined us in this fellowship from our original church up in Sandy Baptist Church in Jefferson County. So God is leading him right now in a walk of faith that doesn't include his dad. Okay? It does in that I'm praying for him. But I think there were dynamics, and some of them were because of unhealthy discipline that I had learned as techniques whenever I was a young man and I carried into with my children. I tried to discipline them out of anger. And especially my older children really grew up in fear of that anger. And I can tell you, they towed the line. My kids towed the line. They didn't do much out of line because they knew my anger, my wrath would be very powerful. And I repent of that today because no one is supposed to control another person in that way. It's called abuse, is what it's called. Though I never broke any bones or things like that, guys, I was abusive because I controlled them with my anger out of fear. And I pray to God before y'all, who I love very dearly, that you will pray with me that Nathan can be set free from that in his soul. He is going to another Bible-believing church. Praise God that he is carrying on with the Lord and he is trying to figure his way out. And I can tell you, it makes me worry like crazy that he will still walk with the Lord. But I am trying to give that worry over to God and just pray for him. So please, know my heart and pray for me, because it is hard for me to experience that. But I am just being totally open and honest with you today to let you know I go through struggles too. And I know the kind of struggles that we may all be in, that we don't know anything about the other person's life. I'm showing you my life. I'm opening my book to you. And I'm saying, please pray for me, because it's hard for me right now. But I want Nathan to know that I love him more than what I want to control his activities. I have tried to give him freedom, and I want him to know that he has freedom. I want him to follow Jesus. I want you to follow Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. And here's the deal. If we all follow Jesus, we're going to be going in the same direction. And it don't matter, you know, if I'm in a church in Jefferson County or a church right here or a church in Africa, we can all be going in the same direction together. So I don't know why God led me to bear that to you today, but I just did. So pray for me that I will be gracious and loving and building up to him, that he will see I do not disapprove, that he is following Jesus no matter where Jesus takes him. Amen. And that's where we all are, guys. I want you to follow Jesus. And if that means being a part of this fellowship here and doing that together, then wow, let's do it together. Amen. If it means you being somewhere else to do that, but you're still doing it, then let's stay in contact so we can celebrate what God's doing. Amen. All right, God's going to sustain his work. And so I just want to praise God that Jesus didn't get distracted from his purpose. Amen. And so, you know, he had a purpose. It was the road to the cross. And he knew what he came to do. And he didn't get distracted whether people liked him or didn't like him. He kept going. And so let's not leave it up to popular opinion. Although I would have to say, I handed out a little questionnaire thing, kind of a survey not too long ago. I didn't get any of those back. So I'm going to distribute another one next week, okay? And this isn't a referendum vote to see what our church should be doing. It's going before the Lord and asking him to show us what doors he's opening, okay, because of the desire that's on our hearts. So we'll try that again next week. We'll do a redo on that one. Guys, but let's not get distracted from our purpose, okay? Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins. And he died to save your neighbor, your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad, whoever doesn't know him. He died for them too. He died for you. He loves you. Do you hear that? Jesus loves you. You know, it's not all about me. It's all about him. But I'm thankful he loves me. Let's just say it together. I'm thankful he loves me. Let's say it. 1, 2, 3. I'm thankful he loves me. Because without Jesus' love, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. This altar is going to be open. I don't know what kind of burdens God's put on your hearts. But I pray that you'll be willing just to bring them to him. If you want to join this church, you want to surrender your heart to Christ for baptism or wherever you may be. I don't know where you are. I'm going to stand up front, and I'm going to wait on anybody that wants to be prayed with. Okay? Just do what God leads you. So let's pray. Dear God, we just put ourselves before you, and we pray that you would just do with us as your will. So Lord, I pray for my son Nathan, as I have discussed that this morning, his family, oh God. I pray you would lead them in a walk of faith. I pray for this church, Lord, that we would not come under compulsion or out of a sense of duty, but we would come because we want more of the bread of life. We just want more of you. And Lord, please bless everybody that's here and has come. I pray that their cup has been filled until it's just running over, Lord, that they'll stay in your presence today. We'll meet back together here this evening as well, Lord, to celebrate more of you and your word in the book of Jeremiah. See what your plan is for your people. And Lord, I pray that you would bless this time that we go to you and just ask, Lord, to reveal anything in our hearts that may need that healing balm over, that we would be willing to bring it to the altar, Lord, if that's where you lead us, and leave it in prayer. God, that we will take confidence that once we've left it at the foot of the cross, that it is as good as done. You are taking care of that issue. According to your will, let it be done. In Jesus' name, amen. This is Tara Oker, and Tara has been joining us for a pretty good while, and she wholeheartedly wants to be a part of our church family here. She's coming from a local church in Potosi, Potosi Southern. Tara has shared with us her salvation experience. She has been biblically baptized, been a member of that church for a pretty good while, and so she'll be coming just by transfer of letter, we will request, but she just really wants to be a part of what God's doing here. She seems excited about it, and I've prayed for her that God will show her how she can use her gifts here to serve. She really wants to serve God, and she can see that we're trying to serve God. Not anything against the church where she was going either. She just feels like God has moved her. And so what is the will of the church in this? Do I have a motion in a second that we receive her? Amen. All right, all those in favor, say amen. All right, well, let's praise the Lord together. Amen. All right. Thank you, Tara. And so after we do closing prayer, we've got to do birthdays now. And then after that, I'm going to have you come up here and let everybody greet you. Do you mind if everybody comes by and shakes your hand, gives you a hug? All right, good deal.